You are now listening to Black Girl at a PWI. Here at BGPWI, we believe in thriving instead of just surviving. As a global community of Black women in predominantly white spaces or at predominantly white institutions, we are here to remind you that you are seen, heard, felt, loved, and known. Whether you are listening with friends, your partner, while grocery shopping, going for a walk, or commuting to and from work, from us to you, we welcome you home and thank you for listening. Now that we've introduced ourselves, let's get into season 3 of Black Girl at a PWI. What is up, everyone? It is your girl, the Rihanna Simone. What an honor it is to be back on the mic, back speaking to Black folks, Black women, Black girls at predominantly white institutions and in predominantly white spaces. It's an honor to be back for the spring semester. We are not just back for a little bit. We're not just back to post every now and again on Instagram. No, we are back committedly with consistency, with discipline for 2025, but more specifically, the spring 2025 semester. So much has been new in my life. If you're wondering what it has looked like, go check out our Instagram, Black Girl PWI. But I'm sure there's a lot that's new in your lives. I'm sure we have new listeners. Listen, we got a new beat by Tyshawn Gaines, a new intro. Like, it's an amazing time. So for those of you who don't know me, I am Brianna Simone. I am your host for Black Girl at a PWI. We're about to get into a new season and especially a new episode to celebrate Black love. So let's get into it. Y'all, it is February. It is not just a regular February. It is February 2025, which means life, people, America has been absolutely ghetto since November, right? And I think that we kind of held off, but once TikTok got banned, once people started acting crazy, once y'all's president, I love how Black people, they know you don't like somebody and they'll be like, oh, yo, best friend. Oh, there go your man, right? Oh, there go y'all's president, because he ain't mine. I did not vote for President Trump. Y'all's president has been acting a fool alongside other crazy just white Nazi groups and white supremacy and all this foolishness that we know is nothing from a lie, nothing but lies from the pits of hell, law. It's been crazy. Overall, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy way to start the year. TikTok got banned. You know, people was losing their minds. People were running to Instagram, hated Instagram, running to Laps, hated Laps, running back to Facebook, hated Facebook. Like, it was just a terrible time. But then on top of that, we had, right, this new person come into office who's not new at all, at least not to America's standards. And, you know, he kind of made things significantly worse, significantly worse than they already were. And we know that as a result, that affected Black people, per usual. You know, the decisions of the majority of America tend to always affect Black people when Black people show up and do the work. And as a result, you know, it's been a time. DEI has been heavily attacked, and not like in just talking about it. It has actually been heavily attacked. All the stuff that we said was going to happen is actually happening. Who would have thought? And it's been a time. And in the midst of all of this, I, you know, have graduated from a double master's degree. I did undergrad and grad school 6.5 years, but I am 24 with 3 degrees, 2 masters, not unknown or incomprehensible for Black women, because the girls who get it, and the girls who don't. And so, you know, just having a lot of time on my hands and having so much vision for Black Girl at a PWI, it just seemed like there was no greater time to show up than now. And so what an honor it is to be back. What an honor it is to be able to just kick off this season with fervor, but with intentionality, with consistency, with discipline, and with the vision to run after. So y'all, welcome. If it is your first time ever listening to Black Girl at a PWI, maybe you're just now seeing us because we're being consistent in our posts. Maybe you're, you know, just now seeing us because somebody reposted or anything like that. However you made your way to this podcast, I want to reiterate the intro to you. I want to reiterate what I would consider the Black Girl at a PWI creed. Here you are seen, heard, known, loved. You deserve to thrive in predominantly white spaces at predominantly white institutions and not just survive. Now, while a lot of these institutions were created for us to survive, they were created off the backs of Black people. They were created more specifically off the backs of Black women, off the intellect of Black women. We are taking back the rightful space to show up fully and authentically, Blackity, Black, Black, Black. blackity black, fully woman, fully integrated beings in these spaces that were not created for us. We have a way of black, as black women, of just showing up and changing the entire environment to be more inclusive, to be more responsive, to be more supportive, to be more authentic. And so that is our charge at Black Girl at PWI, is to welcome you all home. It's to reiterate that you are so loved. You are so appreciated. You are so seen. Even when the world tries to act like it doesn't see you, you are so seen. And then you're being seen. You are known. You are loved. You, all of the things. You just are. So that's a shout out just to the folks who are new here. We would love to connect with you. So if you have a particular story you want to share, feel free to DM us, Black Girl PWI. Or if you are not new here and you're like, hey, I've been here, go ahead and show some love on our Instagram. Go ahead and slide in our DMs. Just, you know, being excited about being back and just sharing that excitement with us. Y'all, so by the time that this is launching, right, we've teased a little bit on Instagram, but by the time this is launching, Love Day officially has passed. But if you all know me, and I've talked about this on numerous episodes, I am a lover girl. I've been a lover girl even when I was not in a relationship, because I love love. I love people. I love loving on people. Listen, my love language giving is literally giving. It is gifts. I love getting people stuff. I love seeing their reactions. I love meeting needs. I love showing up for people. I love holding space for people. So I'm thriving in this month naturally, because it's Valentine's Day slash Love Day slash Love Month. And I feel like love should not be limited to just this day. As you all know, being in the Black community for, I'd probably say about a year, but maybe it's been 2, 3, 4 years. It has been pushed in the media, and maybe sometimes in our experiences, this idea that Black love does not exist anymore, or that it has been heavily perverted to the point where nobody should engage in it. And today we're just going to deconstruct this myth, right? We are going to constantly prove it as wrong. As y'all know, I am a lover girl, and I'm also a believer in Jesus. So that kind of informs some of my showing up in this topic and everything connected to it. Y'all, so today we're talking about loving while Black. Love Day has officially passed according to February 14th, but there are still conversations we have to have. And hopefully, if you haven't had this conversation or engaged with this idea around the time of Love Day, that you still have the rest of February to talk about it. It's also Black History Month, y'all. So we are blackity black, black, black every day of this year, and especially Black in the month of February. So let's get into it. There is a Bible verse. It is Jesus talking. I believe it's Matthew, but he is talking about the commandments. And one of those things he says, love others as you love yourselves, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Others would equate this to the golden rule, which, you know, it makes sense, right? Like treat others as you would want to be treated. But I feel like a lot of us say, oh, love others, you know, as you would love yourself, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. But we don't really focus on that first part of the task of the commandment. Love others, or maybe it's the second part, as you love yourself. This means that we should love ourselves. When I think about loving while Black, that's the first thing I think about. And I know it sometimes it can be hard, because as a Black woman who has grown up in an interesting environment, right, who has encountered many things and been in many relationships and, you know, different parental, you know, structures and stuff like that, and being a firstborn daughter, right? Like all of these things, all of these tropes and identity groups that we end up subscribing to or fitting in, it has kind of shaped me to say, oh, I don't deserve love unless I give it, right? So I'm naturally at a deficit. I'm naturally pouring out something that I don't have within me. But the other part says, oh, in order for me to get love, I have to extend my resources. I have to push past boundaries. I have to say yes all the time. I have to do what everyone else wants me to do. And that's not loving ourselves. That's not being kind to ourselves. I can't even begin to explain to you how many times being a Black girl at a PWI through and through, like hometown is hella white. Okay. Like hella white and hella small. So that's that. And you know, I talk about my story in like season one, but being in a predominantly white hometown, you see Trump signs everywhere, maybe not Confederate flags, but you're going to see Trump signs and United States flag, America flags everywhere. Growing up in that environment, only 2 high schools, only 2 middle schools in the entire like county or town, being very outspoken, being very ambitious, being very authentic, being very unapologetically Black, I experienced a different type of relational setting in high school, right? In middle school and in high school, I argued a lot with teachers. I didn't stand for the flag. Like, it was just a lot going on. And then from high school, I went to University of Mary Washington, which is in Virginia. And that was a predominantly white environment as well, and predominantly white institution. While it was liberal arts can only make somebody so not racist. Like, the two aren't mutually exclusive. And also, like, you go into a liberal arts school as a white person does not make you Black adjacent now, you know? So, like, being in that environment and being the first Black woman SGA president in the school's entire history, right? And still kind of being treated like trash, and, you know, kind of the election being debated, and being in classes and still arguing about racism and the enslaving of Black people, like, all of that is daunting. And then from there, going into two, not just one, but two predominantly white institutions at the same time, one in a religious setting and the other in, you know, a more secular setting, American University and a seminary. It's a daunting experience to be in all these white spaces where you are almost required to perform in order to get respect. You are required to give something that you have not received from the same environment that's asking you to give. I think we can get caught up so much in performing and being and achieving and doing and organizing and mobilizing and encouraging other people and helping other people. I encouraging people to take their next steps and all these different things that we forget about ourselves. I think that the time where it's so interesting, I took less care of myself was in high school and was in undergrad. Because I was able to hide my needs and the needs of other people. Like, one of the major reasons that I didn't even apply to more than one school for college when I was in high school is because I was helping my entire senior class figure out where they were going, if they were going to a HBCU, PWI. I was researching schools. I was taking other people on college tours, but I was not applying myself. I was like, oh, I'm good. You know, I don't need to apply anywhere else. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get into the school I wanted to go to, which was VCU, and that's going to be it. I'm going to be fine. And because God is faithful, I was fine. But as you see, I did not go to VCU. I went to UMW. It's a whole thing. But because I was so focused and so just like pulled and attracted to hiding my needs and the needs of other people, I neglected myself to the point where I didn't even feel confident enough to make a decision regarding a school, because I felt like I didn't apply myself nearly as much as I could have. People would come up to me like, hey, you are super pro Black, like, why didn't you go to HBCU? And the one reason I had to tell them was, you know, number one, I didn't apply, right? Even though I was more than qualified. And number two, because God didn't want me to. But that's a different story for a different day. And so with that, I my heart just really goes out that while we are in this month of love, specifically love, and while we are in this focusing heavily on loving others and being loved and stuff like that for Valentine's Day, that we would just take a moment before February is over, that we would just take a moment to really focus on, how do I love myself? And not just how do I love myself, but how do I love myself well? When I think about myself, I'm still trying to figure this question out, you know, and I'm still trying to get to the bottom of it. I rely heavily on God to kind of inform how I need to be loved, because again, you know, we got some complex upbringings, and so that can kind of affect the way we love, attachment styles and all of that. But when I think about loving myself in the same way that I would give gifts to other people, I started to pour into activities I would do. I go to the movies by myself, my favorite movies. Sometimes it's childhood, sometimes, you know, like kiddie movies, like Inside Out, or If Imaginary Friends. I go to like a lot of kid movies just to pour back into like my inner child. And then sometimes I go and see like an adventure movie or a comedy movie so I can just laugh and not have the pressure to perform or take care of other people. Other times, I remember probably about a year and a half ago, this time last year, I had went to a place called Reloom in DC, and there was a charm bracelet, you know, place. I was living in DC at the time and had some free time in between classes and just went into the city and was making charm bracelets, you know, and living my best life. I hit up a couple museums, all of that, right? I was taking active steps to even figure out what I liked. Do I like to go out, right? Like, do I like to buy myself flowers? Do I like to have alone time at a bookstore just reading? Like, what do I like to do? And what makes me feel loved? What makes me stop and want to hug myself and say, self, I'm so glad that you belong to me. You know, like, what makes me feel good in my skin? And I think a lot of times we can run to outward things to make up for the lack that we have within ourselves. But for me, and my encouragement for us is that we would just take time just to really lean in. How do I love myself well without anybody else's input, without anybody else contributing? What does it look like for me to be loved well? What does it look like? Does it look like going for a walk because you want to move your body? Does it look like, you know, for some, going to the gym because you want to see changes and you're going to take, you know, every resource to make sure you can do that? Does it look like treating yourself and going out to eat and spending time with yourself? Does it look like kind of just sitting and being in a place where you start to, I don't know, you know, just like remember or meditate on, like, man, I loved when I used to do this. I love my voice. It might look like starting a podcast. You loving yourself well. It might look like reading. It might look like journaling. It might look like photography. It might look like taking pictures of yourself or modeling. It might look like getting dressed up and, you know, like, loving ourselves well is a wide range of things. It's such a wide range. And I don't think it should be limited to how other people love us, because other people will always fall short. Other people will always fall short. Shoot, we fall short of loving ourselves, as we've talked about. But loving others and all that, like, it requires us to love ourselves, to be able to touch our hearts and to not feel an abrupt, you know, discontent or just like disregard for our needs. It looks like meeting our needs, hello? Or being able to communicate when we need help with meeting our needs. It looks like taking time to really check in with ourselves. I love that I've been doing this lately, right? But I call it locating myself, kind of how God did with Adam and Eve, where he says, Adam, where are you? That is an indication to Adam to look around his surroundings and say, oh shoot, I'm lost. Oh shoot, I'm lost in thought. Oh shoot, I'm sad. But I feel like for Black women in America specifically, or in any predominantly white institution or any predominantly white space, it's almost as though we are taught from birth, from leadership and everything else, that in order to be an effective leader, in order to be an effective change maker, in order to be an impactful Black woman, in order to be a woman of standards and high achievements, we have to sacrifice ourselves in order to even live in environments that are worthy of thriving. Does that make sense? It's almost like in order for us to receive love, we have to throw aside and neglect our needs and sacrifice our wants and throw away our desires for more for our lives or for fulfilling lives in order to receive everything else. So we gain literally the world and we lose our souls. And this just, I cannot be convinced that this is what is meant for Black women, that this is what God wants for Black women, and more specifically, that this is the design of the lives that we are supposed to live, right? When we talk about thriving instead of surviving in predominantly white spaces, you know, in around predominantly white institutions and things of that nature, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to survive we're talking about being able to thrive without having to put ourselves down on the chopping block or on the altar. And so if we start to live lives where we love ourselves, if we start to live lives where we feel home within our bodies, where we feel fully integrated, where we feel one with ourselves, where our mind, body, heart, spirit, and emotions are not in 30 different places, but they are all within our one body, I think that that can transform the love that we have for others, the love that we have for our friends, and the love that we have for our communities and our partners. So that's step number one, in my personal opinion. Loving while Black requires us as Black women in predominantly white spaces and at predominantly white institutions to love ourselves well. We take care of our needs. We know how to ask for help. We rest. We take breaks. We don't say yes when we want to say no. We set boundaries. We check in with how our body is feeling, how we are feeling emotionally. We do not put ourselves on the chopping block of belonging or the chopping block of having our needs met. Instead, we say that success looks like me being taken care of and me loving myself well. So we love ourselves well. But then, and this is what I honestly love most about Love Day and just what surrounds Valentine's Day is loving others. Again, you know, I'm a giver. And this is not to say that no Black woman should be giving. I think that it is innate of women to nurture, and especially innate of Black women to multiply and nurture and pour in and cultivate a thing. And with that, I have grown in these past two seasons I've been in to really, really love community and love others. And what I specifically mean by that is friends. We are going to talk soon in this season about the friendships of Black women, about how revolutionary they are, how healing they are, how just much of a blessing they are to Black women who are going through our lives, sometimes feeling very solo dolo, feeling like we can't take others with us. But I feel like in this day and age, in the same way that Black love for ourselves has been attacked, in the same way that Black love for our partners has been attacked, in the same way that Black love for our community has been attacked, I honestly think heavily that Black love for our girls have been attacked, for our friends have been attacked. I love Galentine's Day so much. I love the idea of Galentine's Day because it really encourages us to reimagine what healthy, loving, fruitful friendships look like for us. It requires of us to have tough conversations with those who we call our friends and who we say we are in community with, to love them well and to speak up when we feel like we're not being loved well. Like the idea of getting together with your girlfriends, dressing up, right? Maybe you dress up, maybe you go out to eat. Me and my girls, we tend to, sometimes we'll go out to eat, but we tend to find somebody's house. And we'll decorate and we'll just have fun and just do our own thing here. But I love it so much because it forces us to be intentional about cultivating friendships of love, friendships of dedication, friendships of goodness, friendships of fruitfulness, friendships that give us back the same things that we give to others freely. And these friendships don't require us to do anything but be authentic. And to allow ourselves to be loved. Hello? I feel like Black women, and I can just speak for myself as a Black woman, God has really enforced in me, Brianna, you need to allow yourself to be loved. So I got this tattoo. I don't remember when it was. Anybody who knows me knows I just get tattoos for fun, but they all have a message. And it's beloved, right? Because I was reminding myself that I am the beloved of God. God loves me deeply, right? When you hear dearly beloved, like that is how God addresses me in our quiet time and when I'm going through a tough moment. But when I started to sit with it a little bit more, God was also encouraging me, like, be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. Black woman, this is my message to you. Allow yourself to be loved. Allow people to show up for you how you show up for everyone else. Allow people to show up for you in a way that you might not even show up for you. Allow people to speak highly of you and you not feel like you have to belittle them or belittle the compliment. Allow people to pour into you the way that you so eagerly and so sufficiently and so committedly pour into them. Allow yourself to be loved because you are. You just have to receive it. And I think that's what Galentine's Day represents for me, right? Like this idea of being able to really say, oh, these girls show up for me. I love these girls bad. I love this friend because she does this. I love this friend because she's just so authentic. I love this friend because she's wildly creative. I love this friend because whenever I needed a shoulder to cry on, she was there. I love this friend because even though we're miles or states away, I still can call her and we catch up like nothing happened. I love this friend because we get together and we eat good food. Like the ability to look at your friends and look at the girls and the women that help cultivate a life love, fruitfulness, and a life of sustaining goodness for you. And to say all of you all are so uniquely different, and yet you remind me of the love that I am deserving of. And as Black women in predominantly white spaces that teach us and that encourage us to throw away friendships and to throw away the authentic parts of ourselves that need to be loved, it is so essential for us to love our community, to love our girls, to love our friends well. And if you are listening to this and you're saying, Bree, I don't have that yet. I don't have a community of women. I don't have close friends. You know, maybe you decided to take a path that is less traveled and you just kind of started to fall out with some friends, or maybe y'all just weren't seeing eye to eye, or it just felt like the season of your friendship was dying off. That's okay. And what's not okay is hardening up because you don't have that and feeling like you don't deserve love. You do. And maybe you don't have those close friends just yet, but you do have opportunities to take advantage of, to build those relationships, to build deep and authentic relationships. And it might just look like one person. It might look like many women. Maybe you go to a Pilates workout. Maybe you sign up for ClassPass. Maybe you're, you know, just on TikTok and connecting with people. Maybe you need to, you know, start initiating that invitation for others to go get lunch or whatever else. Maybe you're in a season of mentoring other people. And so you actually need to reach back or reach down and pour into a young woman who is also on her journey of becoming, right? But all in all, it is not just important to love ourselves, it's also important to love our girls. What? I'll tell you, this is why it has meant so much to me in this season. After graduating, I was living in DC to be in school full time. And after graduating, I had to come home. And home for me is Virginia. It's like Southwest Virginia. And I had made and built my community out in Maryland, built my community out in Northern Virginia, in DC. And now it's like I'm 2, sometimes 3 hours away from the people that I love. And I have been pouring into these relationships, and God has been growing them. And we've been going deeper. And being back here, you know, I am here thankfully with, I won't just say these girls are my friends. These girls are family to me. They literally are. Both of them are my cousins, but they're my family. And being back with them, I have also embraced this. And what I have seen is that I get to now do things that I wasn't able to do in DC. I get to catch up and spend time with my nieces and nephews because of my sister. I get to, you know, go watch basketball games with them, you know, or go out to eat at little places around town. You know, it's not that big of a town, but it's still good places to eat. Like, we get to go do that and catch up and really do life together on the day to day, right? Like, it snowed in Virginia a couple of days ago and we were on FaceTime just chilling. I haven't been on a group FaceTime and I can't explain how long, but it's been a long time. And that filled my cup so much. I didn't have to perform. I didn't have to do anything. I was cooking. They were on the phone. We were just laughing, having a good time. And even just threw out an idea like, hey, we should do a dinner party every 2 weeks. Now, mind you, when I was in DC, I was like, man, I can't wait till I get my next place, because when I do, you know, I'm going to do dinner party, stuff like that. And God is so faithful to say, no, you can do it now, which just might look a little different. And that's okay, because the gift of friendship is what matters most. In that same vein, I felt very like just, you know, grieving the fact that I had built community and now I feel so far from them. And it's so beautiful because even in that, my girls, all of my girls in Maryland and in Virginia who I've been close with, they've been like, oh, girl, I'm coming to you. And I'm like, girl, you don't got to do that. It's an hour and a half drive. You know, I just don't have the means to be back and forth like that, like I used to be. They're like, no, I'm coming to you. I have had numerous friends plan or actually show up, drive an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, just to come down and kick it with me in the small town that I thought nobody would want to come to. This is an example of allowing yourself to be loved. When they came down, they know I ain't got it. They paid for my food. You know, like small things like that make me feel like, oh, I don't have to be invisible just because I'm not around. You know, like just because I'm far now, I'm out of proximity of what we were able to do, where I don't have the means or the resources. It doesn't mean that I don't deserve to be loved, because love is not conditional in the way that you always have to have all the money, have all the resources, have all the time, have all the energy for you to be loved. There is nothing that you can do to earn being loved. This isn't like a battle of how to be loved. You don't have to work to be loved. You don't have to lead to be loved. You don't have to have a position or a title to be worthy of love. You naturally are. It is innate. It is innate. And when we talk about faith and we talk about God giving us love when we were enemies to him, like that's a whole nother tangent, but it is the basis of our reality, right? And as a Black woman, when we exist in these spaces that tell us we have to perform to be seen, or we have to perform or over exceed, or oh, we have to be three times better than a white person in order to get this, maybe that might be true on paper. But when we start thinking about the foundations of our faith and we start thinking about just how it is protest and revolutionary to rest when everybody else is telling us to perform, we start realizing that, oh, I didn't need to do anything to be loved. I just need to allow myself to be loved. Oh, I don't need to do anything to work for love. I work out of love. I give out of love. I pour into others out of love. I lead organizations well out of love. I love my family out of love. The love that God has given me, the love that I have for myself, the love that I get from my friendships. I am doing things out of love instead of doing things to be loved. That is revolutionary. What's not revolutionary is doing things beyond your capacity. What's not revolutionary is denying rest when you need it. What's not revolutionary is neglecting your health because you're putting everybody else's needs before your own. What's not revolutionary is denying your own mental health needs because you are so focused on achieving and being better than the very person that's next to you just because they're a different race. While I know that that sometimes is necessary, I want to be abundantly clear. You don't need to be better. You don't need to be three times better than a white counterpart just for you to achieve the same thing. No, you are already more than likely overqualified. So you don't need to be better. There's nothing else you need to do because of your drive, because of your ambition, because of your makeup. Like, you are naturally going to far exceed the expectations and the standards set for you. So you don't need to do it. You want to. What is revolutionary, especially when we think about loving while Black, is the ability to love the authenticity of Blackness, to love the culture of Blackness, to embrace our own Blackness, and to not feel that we have to do these things because society is so harsh. Like, oh, I'm only loving myself because society hates me. No, 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 no. That's not good enough. You need to love yourself irregardless of what society says about you. Irregardless of what that PWI says about you, irregardless if Trump or anybody else in office attempts to take away DEI, that's fine, but I'm still Black. That's fine, but I'm still a Black woman. That's fine, but I'm still a Black woman in predominantly white spaces. And I'm not going to stop being who I am just to appease you. No, I'm actually going to go harder because I know that I'm worthy of being loved without having to do anything to earn it. That is the crux of loving while Black, in my personal opinion. It's not performance. It's far from performance, honestly. It's not performance by a long shot. It's embracing what has been freely given to you and receiving it. So, okay, we've gone through loving ourselves well, loving our community well. This is more specifically talking about friends. Listen, you might say, listen, I don't like to celebrate Valentine's Day. I highly encourage y'all, even if you were not able to get up with your friends on Valentine's Day or before, do it before February is over. Matter of fact, like, start thinking about, hopefully, I hope some folks are listening to this with their friends. Start thinking about ways to pour into your friendships and to do things with your friends outside of Valentine's Day. Imagine waiting one time within 12 months of a year to pour into your friendships, to let them know how loved they are, to let them know how much you love them. Why do we wait? We don't have to, right? Plan that dinner party, get up with your girls, go do a photo shoot together, decorate somebody's living room, and just bake and just cook. Like, you don't have to wait for things to be popular or for everybody else to be doing them or for there to be a whole societal movement around it for you to do it. This is why the next point about loving our community is so important, because we set the culture. Mind you, culture is ever changing. Society is ever changing. This is why being a Black woman in a lot of these predominantly white environments is so interesting, because the standard is always changing. The bar is always raised. The moment we hit something, it gets raised again. The moment we hit some, it gets raised again. And so we get to a point of overextending ourselves instead of just saying, hey, I'm not going to play this game. Okay. Turn this TV off. Like, I'm not going to play this game. I'm going to create a culture of love in my life. I'm going to create a culture of loving authentically and beautifully and fruitfully in my life. And that comes with loving our community, right? It comes with being able to show up for our community. I know for me, when I was really in my organizing bag, I would love to just take Black History Month to educate, but to organize events for other Black people in the community, to connect with one another, to do a lot of creative expansions and activations, but also to just link up with people. Maybe we're going to a basketball game. Maybe we are, supporting this Black-owned business that's an ice cream shop. Maybe we're all going to pull up and, learn more about this Black history fact. But there was a pouring into community so that when there was an invasive a thought, right, about white supremacy or something heavy that we were dealing with, like DEI changes and the cancellations of the ability to even take out student loans. Like when things like that happen that seem to rock our community, we're not easily moved by it because we've been one. We know that we are resilient. We have poured into ourselves enough to know the truth about who we are instead of focusing so much on the damage of the outside world. So there's an importance of loving our community. This is loving while Black. And there's beauty in this and there's fruit in this, especially. Now here goes this last one. And then we're going to be done. But man, can we get into Black love with our partners? What? Can we just talk about how revolutionary that is, but also how healing it is? Like, I feel like maybe the media, but maybe even ourselves in our community, we have gotten so caught up and popping other people's balloons and speaking down on one another and just participating in these gender wars that are so unnecessary, because the message in all of them are the same. It's like you're either not good enough as a Black man or a Black woman, or you are not deserving of love because you don't have this, that, and the third, or you don't check off on my boxes. When at the end of the day, Black love is healing beyond words. Love in itself is healing beyond words, but Black love, the ability to feel safe in the arms of your partner, knowing this world that we're in, knowing this world that attacks Black women and that kills Black men, like knowing this world that belittles Black men and over-sexualizes Black women, like knowing this world that we live in, this society that we live in, and still choosing to love one another relentlessly, committedly, intentionally, consistently, without any breaks, all gas, like the ability to do that, man. It is just something I feel like I can't even express verbally, but it's worth it. And I think that's really where I want to land. And just in today's episode, just really diving into the fact that love, Black love, is worth it. I know that when I was in undergrad, when I was halfway through my degrees and grad school, I was not really in a relationship like that. Like, I came into undergrad in a relationship, wasn't the best. I was very insecure, things of that nature, and got out of that relationship right before sophomore year. And so I really started to just go crazy with leadership. I threw myself into leadership positions. I threw myself into leadership opportunities. I was very active in the community. I threw myself into friendships to a degree. Like, I was just really going in every other area of my life. And I wasn't really focused on, a man or relationships. However, I deeply craved love. I deeply craved intimacy, and not sexual intimacy, like romantic intimacy, for somebody to know me deeply. I had great friends. My best friend is still amazing to this day. I had great community. I had great, friends on campus and off. And I still wanted to be known intimately. And you may be listening to this, and maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're not. You might be saying, Bree, I am accomplished. I'm a go-getter. I'm a leader on campus. For some of you who are believers, like, I love God, like, and I feel like I am missing, something. Like, I feel like I want to be loved deeply. And if you're anything like me, maybe you feel like you don't deserve it. Maybe you feel like maybe I'm better off being auntie to everybody else and having no kids. Maybe I'm better off being the bridesmaid for everyone else and never being the bride. Maybe I'm better off being the third wheel for everybody else and being the matchmaker and being Cupid and being the leader and being the advocate and being the organizer and being the friend who shows up for everybody else and not having it in return. And I just want to stop you and say right now that your desire to be loved and to love somebody else intimately and to be known and to know somebody else intimately is not something that you are unworthy of. The fact that your heart aches for intimacy is proof that it is out there for you. And when it comes and when it shows up, it will not have to be anything you have to perform for or check off a list for. You will be ready. And that's not to say that you're not ready now to be known intimately. I would hate to dismiss people. I would hate that when I was like fully single, not in a relationship. I would hate when people would be like, oh, your friendships are enough. No. Because what does it mean when I am thinking friendship is enough, but my other friend is also in a relationship? You know what I'm saying? Like, that is, so I dare not dismiss that desire for intimacy to be fully known. Look, to be fully seen, fully known, fully loved, fully heard, just like Black Girl at PWI. No, there's a space for you. You deserve this. If Valentine's Day has passed and you were like, dang, like I didn't get posted, you know, maybe I'm in a situationship and I didn't get posted. Maybe I broke up with my partner on Valentine's Day. Maybe we argued on Valentine's Day. Maybe I didn't even have anybody to celebrate Valentine's Day with because I'm at a PWI and I'm around a whole bunch of Black men that hate, you know, that seem to not be attracted to Black women, or I'm around a whole bunch of people, you know, I'm in white spaces that don't even love Black women, and you feel so isolated from the day. I want to speak to your heart that is beating. I want to speak to that tenderness of heart and to tell you to not get cold-hearted, to not get weary in well-doing. Because while you feel that you have to perform in these predominantly white spaces and at predominantly white institutions, in your office space, in your workspace, maybe in gyms and in clubs and in organizations, in your classes, that for this love that you are craving and also deserving of, you don't have to beg, you don't have to plead, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to perform. You don't have to do any of that. You just get to receive it with open hands. I noticed that in my life, and this, I'm not saying this about anybody else, but in my life, I was living a life that was so fast that I was neglecting my own needs. I was, you know, pouring so much into my community that I was kind of neglecting my own needs and still had this deep desire to be loved. And I remember one day somebody said to me, Brianna, you got to slow down. You got to slow down. And I took it as a threat. Cause I was like, what you mean? I got to slow down. I got to slow down. Everybody else gets to do, you know, just everybody else gets to do whatever they want, stuff like that. And I really sat with that, like, hey, Brianna, you got to slow down. Slow down. And in your slowing down, maybe you'll realize that all along you were deserving of love. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to beg for it. All along, you've always been deserving of love. All along, you've always been loved. All along, there was nothing else you needed to do to be deserving of love. But if you would just slow down in your mind, slow down with your hands and your feet, slow down, you would realize that you have needs that aren't met and that need to be met. And there is room that you need to make in your heart to be loved without feeling inclined to perform, without feeling inclined to self-sabotage because you feel like you're unworthy. Deal with that unworthiness now if it's coming up. Locate yourself, perfect time to locate yourself and put your hands on your chest and say, what am I feeling and where? What are you feeling? Are you feeling your chest beating fast? Are you feeling your head pulsing a little bit? Are you feeling your body ache? Are you being moved to tears because this is the first time you're ever hearing that you are worthy of being loved? All in all, we hold space for that. We hold space for still trying to figure it out. We hold space for new opportunities. We hold space for new opportunities and invitations to be loved authentically and fully for who we are. We are not too dirty. We are not too boring. We are not too unlike the world to be loved. The love that is for us nothing will be able to keep us from receiving it if we would slow down within ourselves and remind ourselves, hey, I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of a love that does not ask me to sacrifice myself to receive it. I'm worthy of a love that looks at my friends and is excited because I have people who love me authentically. I'm worthy of a love where my community does not disregard me, but uplifts me and sees me and pours into me. I'm worthy of a love from a global community that says that I'm seen, heard, and felt even when I feel so disconnected from what I hear and what I feel. You are worthy of a love, sis. You are worthy. You are worthy to be seen in the fullness of who you are. You are worthy of your inner child being loved. Anything from your past or from your childhood that has taught you or pushed you into thinking that you have to do something or be something in order to be loved is a lie, because no child should ever grow up at any point in their time not feeling loved. And if they did, that was not the original intent. That was not God's intention for you to feel unloved. And it's not God's intention now. Being a Black woman does not come at the expense of authentic love. Ooh. I remember that when I first came into, me and my boyfriend were talking. Boyfriend, partner, which one sounds more professional? Maybe partner. When we first started talking, and I was talking to my therapist, and I was saying, like, man, I just feel like this tendency to self-sabotage. And I noticed that it was a couple things. One is that I didn't believe that he could love me, because I felt so dirty. I felt shame from childhood. Like, I just didn't believe that. Number two, I didn't believe it could be this good. Man, when they talk about those honeymoon months, I mean, I still encounter it now and we're almost at a year. But like, sometimes it's like, man, I can't believe this. It's really this good, right? But that third thing was I felt like I was too accomplished. I felt like I was too, you know, much of a leader. I felt like I had too thick of a track record in terms of my accomplishments, and I had too great of a name. Who was deserving of me? It was pride, but it was pride that comes as a form to cover up insecurity. Pride that says, let me overestimate myself so that I can appease those who are looking, so I can control the perception. But the truth is, as prideful as you can be about your accomplishments, sis, as prideful as you can be about how you feel about yourself, if you still have that void, it's probably a God void that God wants to fill. And also it's probably a void that community is meant to fill and a partner is meant to fill by loving you and showing you that you can be loved through the ways of life. And the idea of being fully open and being fully vulnerable scares us. It scared me. And so when we think about loving while Black, when we think about living a life of love through our friends, through our partners, through ourselves, through our community, my hope, my encouragement for us is that we are reminded that we are worthy of love, that we are deserving of being loved, that we have to receive the love that others have for us. Mind you, I'm not talking about love that covers itself up with abuse or anything like that. And that we are deserving of communities of love. The thing about predominantly white institutions and predominantly white spaces, not that they are inherently bad. However, predominantly white institutions and spaces in the context of America tend to ask us to exist within them at the expense of ourselves. It asks us to deny our Blackness. It asks us to deny our womanhood. It asks us to be servants or to be slaves to a system that was never created for us, but was created on our backs. And so as a result of that, we have ended up ingraining the same mentality of, well, I have to work to be loved. I have to fight to be loved. I'm not deserving of love within myself. I have to accomplish all these things in order to reach that plight or reach that place where I can receive it. And it's not true. What's true is, in these predominantly white spaces, you still deserve a community of love. These predominantly white institutions, you still deserve to be loved. Now, if they don't love you, that's perfectly fine. And still, innately, You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be authentically loved. You deserve to be unapologetically loved. You deserve to be boldly loved. You deserve to be softly loved. You are deserving of love. So while we end this episode, Black History Month, a couple days after Valentine's Day, be reminded, be encouraged that love is so much more than a box of chocolates and flowers. It is so much more than being posted on social media apps that a lot of people don't even care about. It is so much more than controlling the perception of how others view you, of being worthy and not being worthy. It is so much more than that. It is a rebellion to everything. Every experience, every class, every job, every space, every post, every racist ideal, every misogynistic ideal, every traumatic experience that has told you that you were undeserving of love, it is a pushback to that. And my encouragement for you is to stand boldly in your worthiness of being loved. To hug your friends tight, to hug your family tighter, to love your community without needing anything in return, and to receive love and give love to your partner without feeling like you have to perform for anyone else. It's to be safe in your body and to meet your needs. It's to ask for help and it's to rest when you feel like you need to. It's to take those vacation days, even if you're not doing anything outside of taking yourself out. It's to figure out what you need to be loved well by yourself. It's identifying what you might be missing out on because you are afraid to be loved. This is what loving while Black looks like. And it can't be manufactured. It can't be boxed up. It can't be, you know, kind of pushed to a vase of roses. No, it is an inward act. I remember years ago, I think it was 2020, I had helped lead one of the biggest protests within my town in history. And, you know, we were at the park and we were, you know, gathered around picnic tables. It was a crowd of 400, 500, 700 people. And while we were there, I remember I got up and spoke, which is wild to think about. But I got up and spoke, and speaking, I was talking about how the revolution, reconciliation, redemption, change, it's an inward act. It's your heart. Our hearts have to stop being stony to the things that make us cry. We need tender hearts to really love. We need tender hearts to love people well. And I know that we live in a time, we live in a society. Listen, if you're Gen Z, we live within a generation that tells us that loving outwardly and boldly isn't cool. That encourages us to be cold-hearted and to not have feelings and to not pour into people freely and all of that, to always need something in return. But I dare you, in honor of Black History Month, in honor of Kendrick's halftime performance and Serena Williams' Crip Walk, okay? My encouragement is that out of boldness, out of audacity, out of your love for yourself and for your people, out of your love for history, that you would commit to doing the hard work to be loved and to love. To have a tender heart in a world where people seem heartless. To keep your heart tender in a world that would attempt to harden our hearts. To not feel like you had to deny yourself tears in spaces that are painful or hurtful. But to feel empowered in your tears. To feel empowered in a cracked voice. To feel like in all things you are worthy of love. And deserving to be loved well. This is Loving While Black. As Black girls, as Black women, and predominantly white spaces, and that PWI is my prayer is that you all, that we would step boldly into this month and into the spring semester as we are officially starting with the commitment to open our hearts. Y'all, Black Girl Out of PWI is about to get into some real tough, necessary, funny, engaging, exciting topics within the next few months, and I'm so excited. We'll be going until May. We'll be doing a whole spring semester of Black Girl Out of PWI, planning, you know, to do some pop-ups here and there. So if you have a city that you want to come to, go ahead and say the word. We're about to have some special guests come on just to share their hearts, their experiences, HBCUs, PWIs, pageants, like all the stuff. We are getting into the necessary topics. And so we are so excited to just embark on this journey. And I'm especially excited and honored to do it with you all. Thank you all for listening. I pray that as you have listened to this, you are stepping into this year willing to be loved, knowing you are worthy of love. You have successfully listened to Season 3, Episode 1 of Black Girl Out of PWI with music by Tyshawn Gaines. But the conversation and community doesn't end here. Follow us on Instagram at BlackGirlPWI to keep the discussion going and for all Black Girl Out of PWI updates. Until next time, sis, stay you.